You're listening to Star Wars Beyond the Films, the official expanded universe podcast of StarWarsReport.com.
There is a great disturbance in the Force.
Last week we were discussing Star Wars motion control, a topic that grew so big it had to consume a second episode, just like Obelith.
Now, Mark, what would you say to... I mean, we're talking about, you know, you mentioned the whole issue of the voice commands and such. What would you want to be able to do? Let's say you're given either a Wii controller or a PlayStation Move controller. Leave and connect out of it for the moment. You're holding something. What would be the ideal type of game that you would think to make use of, say, pointer controls and the type of motion controls we get with the Wii or the Move when it comes to either the lightsaber combat and whatnot? What if it's not a lightsaber? What would be the other ideal for the motion controls? I mean, I've seen people talk about things like real-time strategy games. There's one, is it Ruse, I think it's called, that came out, where it's like an RTS game where you're controlling your armies and such, and essentially the motion controllers are used, but they're basically just used as pointers, almost like a glorified mouse in a sense. What could we see motion controls with in a good way outside of using it as a lightsaber? Because it's not like they're shaped like a blaster. You wouldn't want to necessarily play a flying game with your hand in front of you the entire time holding one of those remotes as if it's the flight stick and such, and just your rotations change everything, because that would get real old with your arm position real quick. What else is there other than let's use a lightsaber?
That is a tough one to answer. I mean, I think about one of the old World War II wing games that I played. I believe I played it on Xbox or PlayStation 2, and I loved it. It was just awesome. And that was just with the joysticks, and I went out and got it on the Wii. And at first, I was like, oh, man, they just ruined it. And then I found one of three, I think, different setups that you had, where you had the nunchuck in one hand and the stick in the other one, and you were pretending like you were, like, flying the Spruce Goose or... You know those dual grips that the pilots have, you know? You'd hold it like that. And once I started doing that, I was having a lot more fun. But it got back to that. My arms got tired. And I think that's where it gets difficult. It's like, how do you do it? I mean, do you do it like the Wii remote? I mean, is the motion control on PlayStation 3 a lot like the Wiimote? I mean, does it have buttons on it, or is it just two glowing pine cone ice cream cones?
No, it's got buttons. You've got the regular four face buttons technically on it. You've got a button for your thumb, essentially where the A button is on the Wii, called the Move button, and you have a trigger underneath where the Wii has its B button. So, in a very real sense, it's essentially the Wii remote just with the three-dimensional space tracking. Otherwise, very much the same.
And yet you can have one each in each hand, right?
That's right. Like, if you play, there's a game called The Fight Lights Out, which I can never play in front of Jody again because she used to be a boxer. She was a Georgia Golden Gloves person. And me doing anything boxing, she's looking at me like, mm-mm, honey child, you're doing it wrong. But you hold one in either hand, and literally as you punch and as you move your hands, it's tracking the positions of the hands and the movements of them in relation not only in 3D space but to each other in that 3D space. It knows which hand is forward, which is back. How you're holding them as far as how your fists are aligned, parallel or perpendicular or whatever to the floor. There's not a lot of games that use two. There's also ones where there's, for instance, there's an archery thing where literally you have one hand forward as if it's holding the bow. You reach your hand back with the other controller, grip the two buttons, your thumb and trigger finger, pull your hand back out as if you're grabbing the arrow, stick your hands together as if you're putting the arrow to the bow, pull it back, let go of both triggers as if you're letting go of the arrow, and it flies. They do that on a Sports Champions and on a game called Medieval Moves Deadman's Quest, which is a great example of the way the move technology can work. There's a lot of combinations. Not many games actually use those combinations. I think you're on the right track, though, with the idea of having almost like a steering wheel type control. I'm surprised there's not more racing games that they're trying to approach with that approach.
Well, that was what I finally, with the Wii, I started to enjoy. We got Mario Kart and I had the Wii wheel. And there I was like, all right, now this is a game I can get behind. Sitting on my butt, just driving a car. It wasn't that hard. I didn't have to sweat or nothing. But I haven't played the PS3s, but that sounds like it'd be a lot of fun. I mean, for me, when I played the Wii boxing, I had a lot of problems with, I felt like I was working myself nowhere. You know, I was like, I was punching 12, 8 times and my character would do it 8. And it was like, oh, come on, I'm swinging faster than I try different things, and it just drove me up a wall. But it sounds like, you know, the motion control, is it motion control of the PS3?
They call it the Move. You got the motion controller Move. Is the one with the weird glowing ball. The navigation controller is the one that's essentially the Wii Nunchuck, where you've got your stick and a couple of buttons on it.
Okay, yeah, that sounds like the way to go. It sounds like it definitely is more sensitive than what the Wii has. I know they have that new adapter that you can get for your Wiimotes, and I don't have it. Maybe that's the big difference right there. I mean, curse you, Nintendo, and you're selling me other things later. But
hey, look at it this way. At least they're not selling you that vitality sensor they were talking about at one point, where you clip it to your finger and it measures your heart rate or some crazy insanity like that.
You're having a heart attack. Shut the game off.
Yeah, call the doctor. That's what you do. You get it on a next-gen system, and then they can have it integrated into the social media, but only if you pay for a gold membership now. It'll connect, and it'll call the 911 button for you, the 911 number for you. William, there are some Kinect games that use driving mechanics, like he was talking about with the flying mechanics. Have you tried any of those where you actually – I mean, Kinect Star Wars sort of does it. You got the hands out like you're holding the turrets on the Millennium Falcon to fire. But have you played any that actually simulate a steering wheel in midair? Would Kinect work for that too, or is that too loose?
Actually, no, it does work quite well. One notable game is – I mean, there have been a couple. Kinect Joyride wasn't quite as good. I'd say the – definitely the highlight is Forza Motorsport 4, which implemented both Kinect and controller input. So when you boot up the game, it says, do you want to play with Kinect or do you want to play with your controller? And it'll change the interface accordingly and allow you to do all of your stuff. Like pod racing, you can – I'm trying to remember in Forza – I haven't actually spent as much. I only picked it up a few weeks ago and haven't spent as much time with it as I would have liked. Been busy with, you know, other games like Kinect Star Wars. But I'm trying to remember if you can control speed. Generally, you're going forward no matter what, right? So you can't completely stop. But you can, you know, you put your hands out like you're holding a steering wheel, and you know you turn your hands as if, again, you're using an actual steering wheel. And it works. It works pretty well, actually. I'd say as good as pod racing. So it's the same type of style. Does that answer your question?
I think so. I've never actually seen that particular style work. Now, I guess what stands out to me, I guess, with this whole generation of Star Wars games, not just motion control games, but Star Wars games in general, it's like the. I don't want to say they're not even trying, but it almost is like they're not even trying. I mean, we've got two MMOs out there, Clone Wars Adventures and, of course, The Old Republic. And we've had, you know, Kinect Star Wars, of course, now. We've had Lego Star Wars 3, The Clone Wars. Every now and then we get something like Republic Heroes that are based on the Clone Wars cartoon series. But it seems like for the core gamer who's going to be playing hardcore Star Wars games, whatever that would be, like The Force Unleashed, or the ones who want to see more Battlefront, or more Jedi Apprentice type stuff, or Jedi Knight, or Rogue Squadron. It's like the last few years have been a drought, in a sense, and, you know, I pay attention as much as I can to both gaming news and Star Wars news, and I sure haven't heard any rumblings of much of anything that's coming. I mean, do we think that there's just some kind of big announcement they're holding off? Maybe they're working on more motion control stuff that they haven't mentioned, or non-motion control stuff they haven't mentioned? Or are we actually hitting a point where, in a sense, Star Wars video games that aren't MMOs and aren't the family stuff, the ones with serious, really well-done stories, have we hit a point where that has just slammed on the brakes and is just dead in the water, to mix a couple of driving and sailing metaphors there? I mean, what's
the
deal?
I'm with William here. I mean, I hope not to, you know, adult gaming, and that's what I'm going to call it in this case. Not that it really is, but it does seem that the other one is aimed more for me as an adult with my kids than me by myself. But that doesn't mean I have to be. But I do hope that they are going to have an announcement, maybe at Comic-Con, maybe at Celebration 6, something. I know you're not the only one who's brought up this concern. I mean, a lot of people have been talking about how LucasArts hasn't had very many posts even about anything Star Wars in a long time. And, you know, every time a game comes out, that is a big complaint. As a lot of people are like, they're waiting for that Battlefront 3 or the Rogue Squadron. I mean, these games that LucasArts and the computer gaming industries have proven are fan favorites, and yet they're not going there. It would be like Microsoft saying, you know, Halo, we're going to throw our chips into a Mario game that we're going to play now. And everybody's like scratching their head going, why? Why would you do such a thing? And so that's where I'm coming from with this. It's like, I just don't get why some of these games that are no-brainers, and then I'm looking at Battlefront 3, or heck, at this point, just give me the two Battlefront games that came on the handhelds, update them for a new system, and repackage it. I'll be happy with that because I still haven't played them yet. But, you know, you've got Republic Commando. We could do an Imperial Commando game at this point. You know, Rogue Squadron, New Jedi Order, so many different ones out there. You could even do another Kyle Katarn game. I'd just be ready for it. I don't know. I just it kind of irks me a lot when there's the desire to play it, and I can't.
You know what stands out? Just to dovetail this back into a previous episode, we were talking, I guess it was episode 16, we were talking about the whole thing about the viability of Star Wars EU stories for broader audiences, you know, outside of the big three or outside of the film and cartoon characters. You know, how marketable is that? You know, that's something that, you know, we said in that episode. I think that we were right on track with the idea, not to toot our own horn, but I think we were on the right track with the idea that video games are a great way to reach a broader audience than just the novels or the comics, because people will play the game because it's Star Wars, probably more likely than just picking up a random novel that's Star Wars that they see that doesn't have any characters they recognize in it. And by playing the game, it opens them up to, you know, reading more, whether it's the Old Republic MMO, opening up people with the video, the novels based on the Old Republic or the comic series and such. But one critical piece that I think we didn't get into in that discussion, and I think it's an important thing, is you have to have characters that really stand out and have a lot of potential within those stories, or at least an environment with a lot of potential, in order to have that type of carryover. You take something like Kinect Star Wars, which is our most recent example of a Star Wars game. They introduce a new Jedi Master, Marva Zane, with crazy hair, voiced by Jennifer Hale, okay? And these Padawans, William mentioned how you can change your character in terms of which mode you're in. But, I mean, literally, when you do that, it's like, here's six random Padawans you've never heard of with just names. It looks like we ran through one of those Star Wars name generators. Pick one, and that decides if you are a white male, a black male, or whatever they would say in Star Wars. Was it Sakoran when we were talking with Barrent a while back? We've got these different because they don't have a lot of personality, some different styles of character, different looks to the characters, one Twi'lek tossed in there, and we'll just bring those in. And if you're doing the pod racing, here's some other characters to choose from, but again, they're just a bunch of random, you know, here's a different race of character, we'll slap a Star Wars-y type name on it. So the Padawan characters have no real impact at all. I mean, you don't even really speak throughout the game. But Marva Zane and those two random Knight Brother-style characters they throw in there are about the only really... and a guy named Mac Pra, who's like a resistance leader on Felucia. They're about the only real sentient new characters that we get here. We get one droid, TC-38. We get a new ship, the Star Runner, that's basically just a rusty-looking version of the Outrider. Mm-hmm. But we never really get any characters outside of Marva that get much chance to develop at all, and Marva herself barely gets a chance to develop. I mean, she's the most developed, but, you know, that's like saying that you're valedictorian of summer school. It doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot. you need a character that stands out, like, say, a Starkiller or Darth Malgus or someone like that, to really say, hey, you know, you've played this game, you really enjoyed this game, you like these characters so much, here's some other stories with them in it that happen to be in novels and comics. There's nothing like that in this. There's nothing like that in Republic Heroes. It's, let's bring in characters from the cartoon show. Yeah, they might already be watching the cartoon show. How is that going to draw them into something new? Don't we need Star Wars games that have characters that are engaging enough to create that crossover? Because just saying they're going to play a Star Wars game because it's Star Wars only goes so far in what we were talking about a couple episodes ago.
Well, you do bring up a good point, because I was going to say, well, what about Battlefronts? I mean, those are games where you don't have a star actual character. It's more the 501st themselves were the stars. But you do bring up that point that if Star Wars wants to stay viable in that way, that this is one of the better marketings. I mean, like we said in 16, most of the characters that have standalone books and comics are characters from the games. And it makes sense in the regards from the books and comic standpoint to bring in new viewers. But, you know, you're right. I mean, when I think about it from my standpoint, I want to know more about certain characters or certain places or certain events. And those are the things in the games that I'm really interested in. Tor. I could really care less about playing the game, but I really, really want to know what the heck happens. And so, I mean, I'm one of those, like, I want to get into the game just so I can learn about it. I mean, there is levels of that.
And not to sidetrack us real quick, but since you did bring up Tor, I have been enjoying the game, but there is one thing I wish, again, it's a little bit of a sidetrack, but I wish your interactions with some of the other characters was a little bit, you were able to develop a better connection with the characters, like in Mass Effect, or even the original KOTAR games. You know, you really got to know your companions, the other characters, and you really felt like you were into the story. And I feel like there's a little bit of a detachment there in the Old Republic even. And again, that goes into the whole thing, though. Do you want to use original characters or new characters? If it's new characters, you have to make sure that you're able to draw in existing fans, like maybe with Scourge, which is completely new characters. Some people are kind of writing it off. It actually is a very good book, even though, you know, the even famous characters hardly get a mention in the book.
I said so, I was sorry, okay?
I wasn't talking about you. Hey, even I was a little bit like, I wasn't like down on the book. I was like, I don't know, I guess we'll see.
Well, yeah.
And I've been really enjoying it. But, I mean, to my knowledge, I think they've only mentioned like a couple ancillary characters and maybe a major character once.
There's almost nobody that gets a mention.
Right.
Nobody that is a pre-existing character outside of Tempest Viewed, I think, if I remember correctly, even shows up.
Right,
in the novel.
And the most you get is like my master's master. That's like the closest reference you get to a major film character. So, and that's really not a spoiler, but you get the idea. Anyway, so yeah, you do have to play this careful balance of how much, you know, do you introduce new characters? Do you use existing characters? How much story do you have? Some gamers like a lot of story, like me. Other gamers absolutely hate story and like skip, let me go kill more people. There's a fine line to walk.
And that's where I think with the Kinect, it sounds like they got a home run by offering the modes or different mini games or alternate games, however you want to say it, like if it's a package. It does offer that option, like, oh, I just want to kill somebody today. Okay, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to slice and dice because I got a slice and dice game. Oh, I want to dance a little and sweat with my daughter. Okay, we're going to do the Han or Yo Oda, whatever it was. You know, I want to race with my son. Okay, we're going to pod race. I mean, that is cool. I get back to thinking about Battlefronts, though, and both of them, and it's like, could you make a book based off of either of those games? And I mean, I could see scenarios where story potentials could come up, but I'm just, aside from if you named one character and then wrote a character or even retconned the guy doing the ad-libbing and say, okay, we know now that this is this clone. I don't recall if they actually gave him a CT or whatever, but you know, that's about as far as they get. I think, again, of the tour, the Hope trailer, when we see, and I think his name is Dace, he's the unmentioned, untitled clone trooper that takes the grenade and blasts Malgus and all that. He ends up getting a name, and we're seeing him featured now. But I remember when I first saw that trailer, I was like, ooh, I want to know more about this guy. And I think in the story aspect, the wanting to know more is what's going to draw in your readers, whereas with your games, you know, you throw a label on it and says Star Wars or say Star Wars Battlefront 3 or, you know, Republic Commando, any of these ones that certain fans are dying for, and you're going to get gaming fans regardless. They're at least going to try it out. But you add a little story and you're going to get people like me that maybe wouldn't have got the game. Well, I guess you can't say me. I would have got the game either way if I could. But they're going to try it out to see what's going on. You know, I mean, there are a lot of people that tried out Mass Effect because they heard in the second one about how great it was, and they kind of had written it off on the first one, and then come the third one, they're like, yeah, I'm a Mass Effect fan! You know, I mean, it's fun to watch these guys. And I'm afraid that, you know, they're going to market a game, Star Wars, and I'm going to be like, honey, we got to go out and spend $500 right now and get a next-gen system because I have to have this game.
Dude,
dude, it's not my fault that I went and bought the freaking Xbox. Leave me alone. I say, that's exactly what I did. Honestly, the reason why I have a PS3 and an HD TV and now a 3D TV and got UVerse and all this stuff where I sort of went into the HD realm was because of The Force Unleashed being on the way. In fact, why I got the Wii was because The Force Unleashed was on the way. Then I realized it's not going to be the same one as on the HD system. Got to have a PS3. And now, of course, the limited edition bundle got me into the Xbox. I think we're selling Battlefront short a little bit, though, because, yeah, the console games didn't have much in the way of story. They had some, but not much. But the two portable games, Elite Squadron and Renegade Squadron, I think they were by a different group. I think it was Rebellion was the name, ironically, of the group that developed those two. Those were somewhat story-centric. You had Cole Sarah and Renegade Squadron as the storyline that carried through the first PSP game, the one that's just on PSP, and then the one that's on PSP and on the Nintendo DS is Elite Squadrons, and that one had its own story revolving around the rivalry between two Force-sensitive clones of the former Padawan of the Rom Coda character from The Force Unleashed, X1 and X2. And remember, Elite Squadron is essentially, it's what was going to be Battlefront 3. The story that was going to be Battlefront 3, based on all the footage that we've seen of it, is essentially the story that wound up in Elite Squadron. I don't know if it was meant to be that those were the portable versions of the bigger console version, or if they just sort of said, okay, we're not doing 3, we're going to jump it over and make the portables out of this so we can keep the story going or whatever. But even then, with Battlefront, they were able to open up that style of gaming into storytelling. But you do have fans that, I mean, you mentioned how, you know, you want to get into the story, so you're going to buy the system, buy the games. That's what I do. You know, I'm like both of you guys. I play this stuff for the story. I don't play necessarily for all the achievements or the multiplayer stuff. I play games for story. You know, Alan Wake, that's my thing. That's the other thing I was wanting to have an Xbox for. Love story-based games. The flip side of that, though, also is that if you have a game with no story, there are some EU fans like us who won't buy it or are less likely to buy it. For instance, I had a PSP Go, or have a PSP Go. I don't use it very often, but it's an all-digital system, and they lowered the price on a lot of the all-digital Star Wars games through the PlayStation Network. So I was going to actually pick up not just the Battlefront games that have the original stories that were just on PSP, but I played the other Battlefronts originally, I guess on Xbox, I think it was at the time, the original Xbox. I'm like, hey, they've got the other Battlefront games there for PSP. I might pick these up. And then I'm looking at it, and I guess it was Battlefront 2 that actually had a story but not much of one, they completely dropped the story mode when they did that portable one. And to me, that is an automatic sale killer. As soon as you say, there is no story, that's it. I'm not sure that I would have been as drawn in to Kinect Star Wars if there had not been a story. And let me be honest here, okay, I play all the games for the story, so I could put them on the Star Wars timeline gold. I'll read the books and the comics, even the ones that drive me nuts, Dark Times, because I want the story so that I can put it on the Star Wars timeline gold and such. I actually watched the entire story mode of Kinect Star Wars on somebody's YouTube channel and summarized the entire thing before I ever even picked up the game itself. I was still undecided on the system at the time, although for me, you know, it's like I'm standing on the edge of this huge hill. And when I start teetering towards, gee, maybe I've got the money and it might be a nice thing to get, you know that within a few days I'm going to be tumbling down the hill. It's a done deal when I start to say that. Anytime I'm like, gee, maybe, just roll your eyes. Okay, just roll your eyes.
I saw that post and I turned to my wife and I'm like, man, you didn't even think about it 24 hours. I mean, like, exactly. Ow, I wish I could ponder that fast.
Yeah, it's one of those. If I have to order it, I'm not sure that I want to trust Amazon because sometimes the cases get dinged up whenever I buy something from Amazon. Then I go out to the local Best Buy and it's sitting on the shelf and I'm like, curse you, Best Buy! You know, but
that's where I'm envious because I would love to do the same. And I didn't get to play either one of those Battlefront games because I didn't get those systems. When my kids were wanting to get their, a PSP? Yeah, they got the – no. I tried to talk them into a PSP. They went with the Nintendo DS. And I was trying to push. I'm like, man, you got the Lethal Alliance game. And, you know, which I think they have Lethal Alliance is on their DS. But I was knowing that those Battlefront games were on there. And I couldn't get either one of them to go that route. I was like, come on. Because I never got them. And it drives me up a wall I'm going to take this out of Star Wars even and say even with Xbox, when you have a really good game and they only have it on that one system. And I get the marketing behind it all, but That's where the anarchist in me says, to hell with the system. Give it on everything. You know, I mean, it irks me that we don't have a Clone Wars novel of Karen Travis here in the United States in a paperback edition. These things drive me nuts. And we get the trade paperbacks. That's fine. But give me my version that's a paperback too. I'm an all format guy. And so when you have this exclusive toy over at Toys R Us or an exclusive one over here and I don't have the store or I don't have that gaming system, it ticks me off. And that's where I get envious of you, because I'm like, I can't afford to get it. I would love to have a system where I could upgrade or get an upgraded system that I could play my old stuff on. I really hate that marketing drive that pushes everything to where, well, we got a new system now, we got to do all these new games on that system, but we're not going to do it on any other system. Or then you have the flip side of that where you have it on all gaming systems and they dumb down the graphics for one system or the other, which I'm just learning about this because, again, the only next gen system I have is a Wii. So, you know, like you said, Nathan, when I found out that the Force Unleashed 2 that I was playing had graphics that looked like it was a Nintendo 64, I was like, oh, I made the wrong choice again.
Well, for what it's worth, the only reason I'm able to do that is because my car's paid off, and thank goodness it hasn't broken down. Hopefully I'm not tempting the dark side, tempting Bogan, as the Dawn of the Jedi folks might think. But see, for me, I mean, I don't spend money on a lot of other stuff. Like, I'm not a going out to dinner all the time kind of guy. I don't buy a bunch of expensive stuff. I mean, I live in an apartment. I'm very good with – I'm an economics teacher, among other things. I'm very budgeted. You know, everything is budgeted for me bit by bit. So it's kind of one of those things where if I've saved up for a few months, I may be able to actually go out and spend it. It's either it's going to go towards saving towards something else later, or I would spend it at the time. It's that kind of thing. I'm just planned out in a sense there. Unfortunately, I don't have the money to throw around on most stuff. Now I'm going to have to wait for anything new. Engagement ring? Xbox 360. I'm not buying anything for a while.
I thought you said it was one or the other.
No. I would have been dead. I'm sorry, honey. I had to give you this ring that's out of the Cracker Jack box because I got that Xbox. I would wind up wearing the Xbox.
That's what I was going to say, honey. I've got to get this Xbox-shaped ring.
Like smashed around my head or something. It's like, oh, it makes R2-D2 sounds. Does it still make it when I smash it over your head? Why, yes, when it broke my nose, it went, ba-wee-oo.
Like, honey, every time you play it, think about my undying love and devotion for you.
The one that wasn't worthwhile. But no, I think though this raises a good point though on the systems, because for me, I save a bit each month and I'm able to use that later to buy stuff that's a little bit bigger, especially when it's something that I know maybe a month beforehand or 2 or 3 months beforehand that, you know, I might want to get. So I start kind of cutting back on other stuff. But that is one thing about these systems and the motion control options. These are not cheap things to get into. If you're talking about the PlayStation Move and you're paying full price, one motion controller, the wand with the glowing orb, that's like $50. The navigation controller, $30. Maybe you get two motion controllers, that's 50 plus 50. The PlayStation Eye is, what, $30, $40, give or take, something like that. You can get bundles. The bundles tend to have one of the motion controls, a couple of games, and the Eye, but no other second controller, neither of them for the other hand, and that's like $100. The Kinect is what, 150, I guess it is by itself or something like that?
Yeah,
I mean,
generally.
Yeah, these for the next gen systems are really rather expensive. I mean, you're spending, you know, between 150 and $200 probably to get into motion gaming, and that's assuming you've already got the system. The Xbox 360 limited edition Star Wars bundle has the R2-D2 system, that C-3PO controller, it's got Kinect Star Wars, it's got Kinect Adventures, got a downloadable C-3PO skin for the dance-off mode, a little code for that. There's no HDMI cable in it, you got to have your own HDMI cable already. But that system is a 320 gigabyte hard drive, the biggest that they've had at this point, and that's like $450 for that system. The standard at PlayStation at this point, I guess what the normal SKU people are going for is what, $300 or something. The Wii is cheaper, but even then, if you're going to play a multiplayer game, like if I want to play against somebody with lightsaber duels, I have to go out and buy an extra nunchuck. I have to go out and buy an extra Wii remote. If I want to play a Motion Plus game, I got to go out and buy two extra Motion Pluses to snap on the end. That's the one thing I haven't done.
Batteries.
I haven't done any motions. The batteries for it or the rechargeable battery packs. The built-in cost of trying this is pretty large, which begs the question, are there any Star Wars motion-based games? Not just Star Wars games in general, but Star Wars motion-based games, whether it's Kinect Star Wars, lightsaber duels, The Force Unleashed with the Wii controls, whatever. Are there any motion-based games for Star Wars that are essentially able to justify dropping money on these motion controls if the reason you're going to drop into motion controls is the Star Wars games? Have we had one to justify it? Does Kinect Star Wars justify the Kinect? Does the PlayStation Move justify the potential we still haven't seen fulfilled? Does the Force Unleashed and lightsaber duels, does that justify getting the Wii? Are there any that rise to that level? Are there system sells here, killer apps here?
Well, I think in this case, I'm probably well-suited for this question. I went with the Wii because of my kids. And I was on the fence. I was really thinking Xbox. My son had started really liking Halo. And then I saw all those previews of all the cool, oh, I can throw people. Oh, my goodness. And so I bought the Wii based off of seeing the trailers and the previews and all the stuff about The Force Unleashed 2. And I want to say I'm happy with my purchase, but Kinect came out, man. I'm just like, are you kidding me? And that's the problem I have with any purchase now, especially in video games. I used to be a gamer. Not anymore, but I used to be. And it's like, I don't want to buy a next-gen system just to find out that, oh, we've got PlayStation 25 coming now. I mean, it just... And that's what I'm afraid of. I've got this whole, like, there's going to be a second shoe dropping. So, I mean, I at the time I thought, yeah, you know, I made a really good purchase. And then my Wii decided to do the disc read air like my PlayStation 2. And I'm like, oh, frack you next-gen systems.
You know what I call my Wii now? I call it the Netflix player. Because it's basically what it
exactly.
is in the front room at this point.
The SD Netflix player.
The SD Netflix player, exactly. Now, just to go on that same idea, though, that was actually something that caused me to back off of maybe that Star Wars bundle. I actually had it pre-ordered at one point, and I canceled the pre-order because I wasn't sure about Star Wars Kinect, or Kinect Star Wars, based on some of those earlier reviews. But you're right about the timing thing here. I mean, it seems like every year it's the suggestion, well, the new Xbox is coming soon, or the new PlayStation will be coming soon. And I wasn't sure about buying a system for the handful of exclusives that I actually want to play, like Alan Wake and Kinect Star Wars and such, when there's a possibility it may be coming around the corner. So, I mean, William, let's throw both of those questions to you, since essentially Mark's kind of opened up another door for something else here. Are there motion-controlled Star Wars-based games that should be system sellers? But also, if someone was looking to get a system to play any of those games, is this even the right time to do it with the state of the gaming market?
Okay, well, that's a big question.
we go for the questions that have made you scratch your head for a long time, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. Are there any current games, motion control Star Wars games that are system sellers? There's not really anything. Okay, let me put it this way. I have a PS3. I have an Xbox 360. I have yet to pick up a Wii, primarily because there hasn't been a Star Wars game that has enticed me enough yet to pick up a Wii. So in that sense, is there a system seller for the Wii? I don't think so, in terms of Star Wars motion control games. PS3, we don't have one, so it kind of puts that out of the running right now. So basically, is Kinect Star Wars worth the price of the Xbox? If I take it, right?
I guess, sort of. I mean, there are Wii, you know, there's lightsaber duels and there's the Force Unleashed with motion
yes.
controls. I don't think either of those is necessary. No, I'll take that back. I think the Force Unleashed one... Maybe not two, but definitely one. I think the controls on that one should be the standard that a lot of games' motion controls are judged by if they're using something like the Force or Telekinesis. So I would actually say the Force Unleashed 1, not graphically, but gameplay control-wise, if you can find a Wii that's at a cheap enough discount or maybe a used Wii or something like that, I think that could be a system seller.
It could be on the Wii, but compared to the second one. The second one I didn't have as much fun, and I still, to this day... It was a lot of fun playing The Force Unleashed 1. I was just bummed about the graphics. I mean, aside from the graphics, I really enjoyed that game on the Wii.
Right, so I guess I'm sort of asking that, William. I guess I'm sort of asking is Kinect, should that be a system seller for the Xbox 360, which in my case it was, but with the limited edition console being a big thing to tip it over the edge. But the Wii also, there just doesn't happen to be a Wii angle on this particular one.
So having not owning a Wii, I'd say that I guess it kind of It really depends on what you're looking for, I guess, in a Star Wars motion control game. Because obviously, the Wii was not a system seller for me. I'm not going to say it wasn't. It might not be for other people. I have played it on the Wii, The Force Unleashed, and it was good. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't enough to make me, you know, pick up a Wii though. So I can't speak to that. Xbox 360. I'm a big Xbox fan. You might think I just might say yes top of my head. But I actually went through this back and forth. You know, do I want to pick up another Xbox? Because I've had an Xbox since 2006. And I was pretty much using the same console. I sent it in for a few repairs early on, not in the last, you know, 4 years or so. But I did pick up finally one of the new Xbox 360S consoles, which they unveiled about 2 years ago, the Star Wars one, because of the game. So, yeah, I was one of the people who dropped down the $450 as well. And you know what? I've been very pleased with it because not just... It's multifaceted. Is Kinect Star Wars itself enough to spend $450 or, you know, less if you're going for one of the cheaper bundles? But really, if you're a big Star Wars fan, who's not going to go with the Xbox 360 bundle, the Star Wars version? I guess is the best way to put it. I've had a ton of fun with the game. Some people have kind of panned the game. I've really enjoyed it. Is it the perfect game? No, but it's a lot of fun. And to me, I think that was definitely worth it. And then I ended up having to factor in a lot of other things like, I was already going to buy the game, so that made the bundle cheaper. I didn't really need another Kinect sensor, but you know, they threw that in. I needed a bigger hard drive because I already filled up my 120 gig. So the 320 helped. I wanted the silent, you know, system now, the new form factor, and I wanted the R2-D2 and C-3PO theme and all that kind of stuff. So, and with the $50 discount from Amazon, it ended up being worth it for me. Right. Even though I already own an Xbox. If you don't own an Xbox, I think it's still worth it because of the other features that Xbox provides as well. I think it's a way to tip someone over the edge. I don't think the game itself is a system seller. It's a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong. But is it like that thing that you absolutely have to buy? It kind of depends on who you are. I guess that's the best way to put it. If you have the $450 to spend and you... You know, then yes. But if you don't, it's kind of something you have to weigh.
I think you nailed it when you said it's enough to tip you over the edge. Because I think for me, not having either the Xbox 360 or the PlayStation 3, those are I'm looking for, you know, which camp will I end up being in? Because I recognize Wii is obviously, for me, not where I really want to go. It's fun for the kids, but it didn't work out. But it comes down to which one has the more or the host of games in which direction I like. You know, I mean, I like the Battlefront games. Those are the types of games I really enjoy. And so then I look at that. And when I get into the motion controls, which one's got the bigger library going on and that stuff. These are things that you're going to be looking at. And so I would say no, Xbox isn't. Xbox games and PlayStation games, motion control games on Star Wars topics aren't enough to make you buy the system. I don't think it's worth it to buy the system, but I definitely think it's enough to sway you into a camp one way or the other. I think you're dead on about that, Will.
And I would have to say, I guess that obviously I guess Kinect Star Wars wound up being a system seller for me.
For both of us. Yeah.
For both of us.
So, and then to answer the second part of your question, is it the right time to buy an Xbox or a system in general? That's a good question. If you're going to jump on, if you want a cheaper system, do it. I mean, systems have, you know, in most respects, unless you're going for one of the high end, you know, nice machines, you know, branded Star Wars Xbox, all that kind of stuff, you know, big hard drive. If you're not going for that, it's a great time to pick up an Xbox because, or a PlayStation, because there are a lot cheaper than when they first came out and they have lots of great games now, that sort of thing. With the Wii, again, you could probably get it for pretty cheap now. But there is the new Wii, the Wii U coming out this fall. So you do have to keep that in mind if you're looking at getting a Wii, cause you're only 6 months away from new console, basically. With the Xbox 360 and PS3, we really don't know when the next version of those consoles is coming out.
Please be long, long time.
The rumor seems to be, you know, about fall 2013 is the guess, but it could even be fall 2014. In that case, you still have a year and a half to 2.5 years left in lifetime of this console. And so, again, it's one of those things where I think it would be worth it. There's still a lot of great stuff coming out, Star Wars and otherwise. I mean, we don't really know about what news coming down the pike in terms of Star Wars, but it's great for just as an entertainment machine, be it games or movies, TV shows, whatever. And so, yeah, I think you could upgrade if you're worried about being able to use it, your console, for years and years down the road. Might be a little bit of a concern, but really we don't know when it's coming. It's not going to be this fall, definitely. So you at least have a year and a half. With it. And I still think it's okay. If this was a year from now, I might be saying wait, but because we have at least a year and a half, if not longer, you're probably okay to still pick up a console. Get plenty of fun out of it, especially if you haven't picked up the previous games. Like Nathan said, he purchased Alan Wake with his Xbox. That's a 2010 game, but it's new for him, and it's a fantastic game. So if you're new to the system, there's still lots of stuff for you to play.
And you could definitely cut down on the price of the system that you're buying if you wind up getting, say you get a PlayStation 3 and The Fight Lights Out, that boxing game, or you get an Xbox 360 and you get Kinect Star Wars, or maybe something like Kinect Adventures. Just have people pay to come over and laugh at you, and you'll have the money like that, you know?
Hey, yeah, Galactic Dance Off. Exactly. You'll have fun doing it and cringe a little bit, but it's fun.
Exactly. All right, well, thank you very much for joining us, William. It's been a blast. This is our first two-part episode because we just kept going and going and going. So we made history here, I suppose.
Energizer bunnies.
Exactly. Dancing, well, dancing on, Energizer bunnies. You got to dance just right to those badly rewritten songs. You're in the Empire today, and I guess no, don't burn it, but it's not going to be for everybody. But give it a try first. Don't let the reviews steer you. I was going to let the reviews steer me. I'm glad, very glad now that I did not. Finicky but fun. Finicky but
Nathan,
fun.
Once you start playing, the force flows naturally.
Very much so. Very much so.
Nice. That about wraps up this episode of Star Wars Beyond the Films. Remember, you can find our show at www.starwarsreport.com, as well as our Facebook page, iTunes, Zune, and airing on Middle Earth Network Radio. If you like our show, be sure to drop us a review on iTunes or the Zune Marketplace, or just fire us off an email. You can email us at beyondthefilms@starwarsfanworks.com. And be sure to interact with us on Facebook and Twitter at @SWBeyondFilms. So, once again, this has been Mark Herleman.
And Nathan Butler.
And William Devereaux.
Our awesome special guest. Thanks for listening.
And may the Force be with you.
And don't quote us the odds.
It's great whenever you you're first plugging it in and the power first turns on the Xbox when you plug in. I don't know if it's the system or the Kinect. Whichever one, when I first plugged it in for the electricity, it made the sound and I almost dropped the freaking thing. I was like, what the fuck? So I guess I just was not expecting that unless you actually press the button. So thank goodness I didn't wind up letting that thing crash to the floor.
Yeah. And Nathan, I'm sure you saw the Help Me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, You're My Only Hope thing.
I did say inside the disc tray was pretty
good. And an Industrial Automaton.
Automaton being on the back.
Love it.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, the one thing I don't know, I was going to email or catch you online or just do a Bing search. Can I play DVDs on that thing?
Yes, you can.
Okay, it struck me that I was like, I got a DVD player in there, but do I need a DVD player for that? So,
nope. Yeah, nice. It worked. Cool. Great with the keys.
Nifty.